Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. You know, the other day on the radio program, I had started to talk about the book of Jude and the way of Cain that is mentioned there in Jude's general epistle. And it's such an important topic. I want to come back to a couple of points there. I didn't get to finish them all during their discussion there a couple days ago, so I want to come back to it as well. But I mentioned that it is a very important discussion because part of what we see in the way of Cain is it's a way of hatred. It's a way of animosity. Of course, Cain is noted as being the very first persecutor of the church. Tertullian, the early church father, referred to him as the devil's patriarch. And the reason why I say that that point right there is so important is because of the level of persecution that we are starting to see in the United States. Now, this particular period of time in which we lived here in the United States, I'm talking about from the founding of the country until now, has really been pretty much an anomaly throughout church history and certainly throughout the sacred history that we find recorded for us in the Word of God, meaning that it's unique in the sense that there was very little actual persecution that took place of the people of God in the United States during that period of time. We had graciously, God gave us a tremendous reprieve from what we see is very much the norm throughout the rest of church history. Well, those times are coming to an end. We see very quickly that the Christian church has now been villainized in basic society today. We see that it is also now being criminalized as well. And very shortly, people will be incarcerated for it, and as we've already seen starting here, and then possibly even leading to the point of being put to death for their faith. Now, we see around the globe, people are being put to death for their faith already in large numbers around the globe. And you would think that that fact then would cause, you know, those that show an animosity towards Christianity here in the States to realize that that type of language, that type of rhetoric against Christians would is dangerous, that it could lead to, you know, this thing getting out of hand and Christians then being persecuted to the point of suffering and possibly even death. The way of Cain tells us that, you know, it tells us that this is where it can lead to. Well, I tied this together the other day with a news item that I saw. It says this. This was coming out of the American, actually the New American, and their website, thenewamerican.com. It says, new Obama terror czar will target conservatives, comma, Christians. The Obama administration increasingly controversial Justice Department, in partnership with ultra-leftist Southern Poverty Law Center, announced the creation of a new czar position to focus on domestic terrorism, quote-unquote, especially the alleged threat from Christians and Americans with anti-government views. Now, this is interesting because this first part of this, because which Christians is he actually referring to? You know, when we've had rogue individuals who have said that they were Christians and they committed, you know, atrocities or, you know, heinous murders or these types of things, like those that had bombed abortion clinics or the fellow who shot Bernard Schlepian there in Buffalo, New York, a number of years ago. They may have been associated with the pro-life movement, but I don't know that they actually claimed that they were Christian. And what we saw was that on a broad scale, the Christian church stand up and condemn such acts. They didn't condone them. They didn't say that, well, you know, the people that did these things deserve these types of things. They very quickly and universally across the country, broad scale evangelicalism said that this was wrong and they condemned it. So where is this coming from, this idea that there is this domestic terrorism? They're thinking of Timothy McVeigh. I don't think that he ever claimed to be a believer. What individual are they using as a precedent to say that this is a group that really needs to be targeted, a group of domestic terrorists? Now, what do we see, of course, in Islam? We see something completely different. We see that there is a huge thread running through all of Islam, that it leads to jihad. It leads to these mass murders. It leads to them thinking something in the teaching there of jihad, of Islam, leads them to this type of terrorist behavior. You know, there's like 30,000 terrorist events that have taken place worldwide since 9/11. Since 9/11, those are actual bona fide terrorist events that have been covered by a legitimate news source, in which the people who committed it said they did it because of the teachings of Islam. 30-some thousand have taken place now since the 9/11 alone. Now, there's a group that you could say, wow, you know, there's a real tendency here towards terror. Here's a pattern of evidence that we are seeing. Well, Mr. President, where is that pattern of evidence among the people that named the name of Christ? Where's the pattern of evidence that you would point to say that this group needs to be targeted? This is a group that is dangerous in their teaching. Yeah, dangerous because they're helping alleviate the suffering from the flooding that's going on in Colombia. That took place in Colombia and at the coast in Charleston and so forth. You know, Southern Baptists were some of the first people on scene. They have a tremendous disaster effort that they put out when these things take place. Yeah, these are the real people that, you know, need to be watched. Or what about the tremendous orphan movement that's taking place, orphan care movement taking place within evangelicalism, where people at great expense to themselves are now going out and adopting children from around the world. Great time and expense and personal sacrifice getting these children and bringing them into loving families and paying for their medical cares and so forth. Yeah, Mr. President, these are those domestic terrorists that you want to keep a close eye on. You know, these are the type of people doing that type of thing. I mean, seriously, where is some sort of precedent to be doing this type of thing, to hire a person specifically? The problem is that the group that has the ear of the president, willfully on the president's part, I'm not removing any responsibility from him or accountability for it, but he's allowing the Southern Poverty Group, which is a hate group, it's a Christian hate group, and it's allowing that group to have his ear, and he is doing their bidding, and it's wrong, and we should stand up and certainly say that it's wrong. Now, it's interesting that he mentions here that that Christians and Americans with anti-government views. Now, that's interesting because in the book of Jude, Jude identifies the apostates, the ones that show the animosity towards the people of God, as being those who are also lawless against civil authorities. Now listen, I've talked about it on this program before. The Christian does not believe in anarchy, and the Christian does not believe in lawlessness. What the Christian believes in is limited government, and the Christian believes in speaking out against a government that has gone rogue, that has gone beyond the sphere that has been appointed to them by God. And so they're critical of government, poor government, bad government. They can be critical of it. They have a God-given right and responsibility to be critical of bad government. But they're a group that believes that government has been ordained by God. So where, again, is the precedent for this? We're not anti-government. We're anti-bad government. And, Mr. President, you've been the one who has been trampling upon the laws. You're the one who has been, in essence, tearing up the Constitution and saying that, you know, I've got a phone and a pen, and I'm going to go ahead and do this whether Congress does it or not. You've been the one that's been circumventing the established bodies of governance that we have set up in this country. So, you know, the very thing that you're accusing the Christian of are the things that really, I think, you could actually, we have more evidence that you've been doing these things and the groups that you have been associated with. So, I found that during the Clinton administration, I remember that just coming to this conclusion, it seemed to me that whatever they spoke the loudest about that they were against was the very thing that they were committing. I just noticed that in a lot of the propaganda, that this was part of the way that they would deal with political issues. If they were actually involved in something, that would be the very item that they would accuse the other side of, and they would come out and say that the other side was doing this and how terrible it was. It really showed me the hypocrisy that was there. We all know about the corruption and so forth, but the abject hypocrisy that was there in their words, doing the very things that they were condemning. The article goes on to say this, while ostensibly created to serve as a coordination office overseeing domestic terror cases, critics and analysts are sounding the alarm, warning that the administration is plotting to go after its political opponents with the full force of the federal government. Now, that's not what the government is for. It's not supposed to be used this way. And yet, what did we see? We see that the EPA is being used this way to go after industries that the president doesn't like. He didn't like the coal industry, although all of the much of the profits that we see taking place and the segments of the government that have grown have been through energy. Energy, sort of like fracking and coal and so forth. This is the engine that fuels a prosperous economy. And yet we saw that the president was using the EPA to go after them. We saw with Lois Lerner and the IRS scandals that took place and investigations still underway, how the IRS was used against political enemies of the president, the Tea Party and so forth. I mean, again, here we see that with good reason, there's a precedent here that the critics and the analysts are sounding the alarm. There's a good reason that we should be suspect about someone like this being appointed, because the precedent has been set that the president was willing to do this with other organizations. So now we're thinking about, you know, our own government being abused and misused in order to come against those that hold a different position than the president. The article goes on to say the impetus for the Obama DOJ, the DOJ's new focus on conservatives, libertarians, Christians, and others appears to be the Southern Poverty Law Center, widely viewed as an anti-Christian hate group and strongly criticized even by mainstream voices on the left. Civil rights attorney and Southern Center for Human Rights President Stephen Bright, citing investigations and even a federal judge, lambasted the Southern Poverty Law Center founder, Morris Dees, as a con man and a fraud, that's a quote, who take advantage of, quote, naive, well-meaning people, unquote. And so there's the uptake from people that are objective. You could say, well, you know, you're one of those right-wingers, and so of course you're going to have negative things to say about the president's DOJ appointment. Of course you're going to be against the idea of them being associated with the SPLC. That's not nothing surprising here. But now I'm citing sources that are much more objective, right? I mean, a federal judge, or citing a people on the left, mainstream. Of course, you know, we shy away from the mainstream because we feel that they're slanting the news. But here's the mainstream saying these types of things. It goes on in the article to say this. Ironically, the SPLC was implicated in an actual domestic terrorism case, one of the few that took place just over 2 years ago. Remember what I said about the very thing that they accused somebody else of? The hypocrisy is it's the very thing that they themselves are doing. You know, take the beam out of your own eye before you go to take the splinter out of thy brother's eye. The attack involved a deranged homosexual activist who was relying on the far left's group Hate Propaganda, who tried to massacre employees at the Family Research Council, a pro-family group that had been falsely characterized as a hate group by the SPLC. Quote, we've been pushing for something like this for quite a few years, declared SPLC mouthpiece Mark Potok about the new domestic terror czar. Quote, we feel like it's very much a step forward, although we'll have to see how it plays out. So, he's not hiding the fact, their spokesperson, hey, we're behind this. We've been the one who have been lobbying the president, you know, asking the president to put somebody like this in the position, basically because they want to go after the Christians. This is the way of Cain. This is the way of hatred. This is the way of bigotry. This is the way of murder, ultimately. It turned out, you know, murder in that case where the person went and committed that terrorism, I think the guard died, if I remember right. Or was he just wounded? And I can't remember, but he took a shot at the guard. It was attempted murder anyways. And if he had not been stopped, the idea was that, his intentions were to go in there and to shoot a whole lot of other people. Look at what we just saw in the Oregon shooting. The person stands up and tells people to stand up. And what religion are you? I'm a Christian. Boom, you'd shoot him in the head. The animosity, not just, being against them, not just disagreeing with them, not just saying, well, I'll debate you on that. Nope. There's an inherent animosity that is there, a hatred for the other person. First John tells us that Cain hated Abel because Abel was more righteous than him. We're told about Noah that righteous man, that his righteousness condemned the other people were outside the ark. You know, they felt condemned because of Noah living a righteous life. So the seed of the woman is always at odds with the seed of the serpent. from the very beginning. And that's why, as the devil's patriarch, we see that Cain is the very first one. And Cain shows us where this is heading. He shows us that this is heading towards severe persecution for the people of God. Listen, we're just entering into this now. Just the birth pangs are taking place. The hatred, the animosity. We had the Supreme Court said that, now this was related to us by one of the other Supreme Court justices, but he was saying that in essence, the rest of the justices were saying that if you didn't agree with their decision about basically legalizing homosexuality in this country and legalizing gay marriage, I should put it that way, that you were an enemy of the human race, an enemy of mankind. Now, listen, this isn't somebody just bloviating at the water cooler. This isn't some guy, you know, who's always mouthing off about what's in the news and he makes some sort of an outrageous statement and you roll your eyes and go back to your desk and just fluff it off. This is the Supreme Court of the United States. These are the very top of the judicial side of the equation here in our government. It's extremely powerful. And when you get that type of sentiment at that level of government, you should sit up and take notice and realize things are going to get serious as a heart attack here very quickly about the animosity that is against the people of God. This is something that we've been warned about from the very beginning. You know, the Apostle Jude, in order to write that book, he didn't have to come up with new material apostates were so clever and their system was so confusing that he really had to delve into it and immerse himself into what they were doing in order to be able to warn us what was coming. All he does, really, is he reaches back into sacred history and he selects from sacred history what it was like in the beginning, from the beginning, with the devil's patriarch, the first apostate, to see what it was like with him, and then he can just extrapolate that out and tell us and warn us about what the current apostates are like during his day and what the current, the coming apostates will be like in our day. And so we can learn from this. The Word of God warns us that this is where things are coming. They're coming to a tremendous amount of persecution against the people of God. That article here goes on to say this, the announcement about the new domestic extremism czar position was made at George Washington University by Obama's Assistant Attorney General for National Security, John Carlin, a Harvard lawyer. He said, quote, "We need to make sure that we have a mechanism in place so that we can continue to remain just as focused on domestic terrorism threat while addressing the international terrorism threat," unquote. Well, how well have they done on that international terrorism threat? It seems that ISIS seems to be just running wild. I would suggest they concentrate a little bit more there and not waste too many of the resources here upon groups of people that there's no precedent for. Carlin said in a Q&A session after the speech, which was hosted by the SPLC, the new DT, Domestic Terror Council, will not only help ensure that domestic terrorism cases are properly coordinated, but will also play a key role in the headquarters level efforts to identify trends and help shape our strategy and to analyze legal gaps or enhancements required to ensure that we can combat these threats, unquote. And so the article goes on to talk more about the details of it. But I just thought it was interesting to see what's taking place here and see the way that this has risen on their radar. and the way that there is now this coordinated effort of going against Christians and conservatives in general. Something for us to keep in mind. Remember, the book of Jude has warned us about this a long time ago. You know, and Jude is saying that this is what it's going to be like in the last days. And this is exactly what we see unfolding before our very eyes. Remember this, my friend, though, they that are with us are more than are with them. We have the Father on our side. We have the Lord Jesus Christ pleading for us at the very throne of grace. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. We have the community of the believers as well. We can take comfort in that.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.